trying to mitigate the collective amnesia that a lot of people seem to have about certain aspects of unions and the success of unions, the goal first and foremost is just to tell a really fun story, and they're entertaining and pretty humorous in places.
And appropriately enough, Labor Radio is next on KBOO, but we've got to make room for them. So we've been talking with Portland-based writing couple Clark Hayes and Kathleen McFall about their new book, Bonnie and Clyde, Damnation. You can learn more about Clark and Kathleen and their books at the website pumpjackpress.com. This is Ken Jones for KBOO's News in Depth.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Adroit Maneuvers, a new play by Michael Burdish, produced by Lighthouse Arts. The play will run from July 6th through July 22nd at the Imago Theater in Portland. The play is set in New York City in 1996. The story revolves around an elderly grandmother and her adult grandson as they talk about living through the Nazi invasion and World War II. This timely and thought-provoking drama portrays a very different view of the personal impacts of war in a touching study of intergenerational trauma. Again, that's Adroit Maneuvers from July 6th through July 22nd at the Imago Theater, 17 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Keys Beats Bars Community Discussion on Sunday, July 8th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Social Justice Action Center in Portland. Keys Beats Bars is a music program for incarcerated youth. This community discussion will be about how music empowerment can bring the community together, and to learn about volunteer opportunities and general information about Keys Beats Bars, Morpheus Youth Project, Liberation Literary, and many others. Again, that's the Keys Beats Bars Community Discussion on Sunday, July 8th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Social Justice Action Center, 400 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 6:01, and you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio. Coming up next is Labor Radio at 6, followed by Prison Pipeline at 6:30, and Hard Knock Radio at 7. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Grendel's Coffee House, located at East Burnside Street and 8th Avenue in Portland, offering organic coffee, sandwiches, and more for breakfast and lunch. Grendel's Coffee House is open daily until 6 p.m. More information on the Grendel's Facebook page and by phone at 503-595-9550. Again, that's 503-595-9550.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Holla! Good evening, and welcome to the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. We know how the labor community counts on this station, and we appreciate the ongoing support, as well as the platform KBOO provides us so that we may continue to keep you, the community, in the know on the issues that are important to you, your families, and your communities. Please consider donating to this special station through the website, kboo.fm. My name is Deborah Hall, and I'm a member of the American Federation of Teachers Local 3922 and the current Secretary-Treasurer of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. As usual, we are joined by...
Hi, I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell. I'm retired from the staff of the UAW in Detroit, Solidarity House, and I'm also the vice president of the Coalition of Black Trade Union here in the state of Oregon, and also president and CEO of the Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute.
Tonight, our segment, thank you, Audrey, excuse me all. Tonight, our segment is on the recent Supreme Court ruling in the Janus case. I'd like to thank our special guest for his time and information tonight. But before we get into our segment, I'd like to remind our listeners about the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. We are an international organization. We have 42 chapters throughout the United States and Canada. Oregon is located in Region 10, which includes Washington State, Nevada, Northern and Southern California. Our annual membership begins at $45 a year. We are affiliated with the Oregon and the National American Federation of Labor, Congress, and Industrial Organizations, AFL-CIO. And our mission is to bridge the gap between the black community and organized labor. As I stated earlier, our segment tonight is about the recent Supreme Court decision in the Janus case. And we are joined by Sherman Henry, from the University of Oregon Labor Education Research Center, LERC, Oregon CPTU, and a member of AAUP AFT Local 3209. Sherman, welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Before we get started, can you please provide our listeners a little background information on the Janus case and how did it come about, basically?
Well, it came about of a old battle between the haves and the have-nots, quite frankly. And how do workers find their voice in the democratic system that will improve wages and other terms and conditions of employment? So while the Janus case is one that was more about court intervention and silencing workers, the reality of it is that this is about corporate America's agenda to suppress wages and create a marketplace that is low wage, no benefits, no pensions. So I prefer to have that conversation than to kind of become a quote-unquote legal scholar about how the impact of this decision is going to adversely impact thousands, if not millions of workers. So in effect, what it did was say there's no more fair share dues. But the consequence of that is now workers are going to have to rejoin unions. Unions are now going to have to engage workers differently than they have before. And you're going to see, quite frankly, some of the employers, even in the state of Oregon, become more resistant to livable wages, good benefits, and pension contributions.
Right. So this decision basically made those types of things a little easier for our employers to kind of set in motion?
Well, it created a conversation at the bargaining table about what they're going to do and not going to do, okay, and how the union would lack resources in the case where employees are no longer going to pay dues. The positive side of this is that significant amount of employees have decided that they will remain with their unions and continue to pay dues. However, that percentage of folks who are not going to reinstate their dues are contributing to the silencing of their voices. But moreover, the takeaways that corporate America wants to see happen, and they use the courts as this as a part of this. They've now used the power that they have in the federal government, where they're now rolling back progress over the last 50 years.
Right. So I just want to reiterate something Sherman said that I heard, and I probably heard loud and clear. So for our folks that are choosing now to go the non-member route, you are participating in the silencing of your voice, your future, your community's future, your children's future. Wow.
Yeah, it's a serious, not many people are talking about it, and if you know, we're not getting much publicity either. But those union members who are really concerned about this, active communion members, can you reiterate on some more of the negative effects and the positive effects that it's going to have on union members?
Well, anytime you have a labor organization that's charged with representing workers at various in various industries, both public and private, and so let me state that the impact on this directly as far as dues deductions and collection was public sector. However, the impact on this is all industries where unions engage in collective bargaining for better wages and term and conditions of employment. And that's a significant phase of this take back or this support, this Supreme Court ruling. The positive side of this is it's going to create internal conversations, and it's going to create a response where unionists are now going to create a conversation about their common interests and their differences, right? One of the things that we're not talking about is that the workforce is growing more diverse, and there needs to be a real conversation about diversity, equity, and inclusion as relates to those who are in unions and becoming the voice of workers, and how that engagement occurs through labor management. And so this is a positive in that regard, that unions and union leadership would now have to kind of think deeper about the relationship between members and the leadership and how they prioritize the union's mission and goals as relates to improving term and conditions internally through collective bargaining. But moreover, how do we deal with civic engagement going forward, right? When we think about the prison pipeline, when you think about voter suppression on a national level, but how do we now look at the adverse impact of certain populations in the workforce who did not historically feel connected to unions? Mm-hmm. And we know a disproportionate amount of union members are workers of colors who may not necessarily be in leadership. And so this is a time where we are going to have to do some deeper soul searching about our future as unionists.
Mm-hmm. And as you were talking, I was thinking about those who are committed union activists. It's one thing to be a union member, but it's another thing to be a union activist who belong to organizations that push the labor movement, to push unionism. Mm-hmm. And so as you were talking, I was thinking how, not only you were correct, it's going to, we got to do something. Mm-hmm. We just can't sit here.
Right.
We got to do something. So, and as you were thinking of that, not only joining CBTU, but being a part of the movement through other organizations, through being visible and not only verbal, but visible and participatory in not only in the political arena and getting the right people in voting and voter registration, but in areas of that affect workers.
Yes.
And be a part of that. Just don't sit and be happy you're a union member and paying your union dues. But we have to be visible and active. So I understand what you were saying about the positive aspect from mm-hmm. from this ruling that comes upon us. So we got to get out there as union activists, let me just say that, and be active, proactive, and wear our shirts and talk unionism, talking to our families, our churches, our neighborhoods. So that's some cut out some work for us to do, seems to me.
Sure, and we have to talk about the ideology of capitalism and from what perspective resources are distributed, and what is a livable wage? What is a wage where workers and the community could prosper, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want poverty-stricken wages, right? So we can talk about the Memphis sanitation strike 50 years ago with Dr. King, etc. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But at the heart of this debate before Janice was the battle between the haves and the have-nots. I mentioned that, but how corporate America look at free market competition. And Milton Friedman historically, which is kind of the godfather of the corporate interpretation of economic policies, mm-hmm. Indicated in several of his viewpoints that if he can get somebody to work for 10 cents, why the hell would a union or a government intervene and tell them he have to give them 25 cents, right? So we're talking about the difference between minimum wage and no representation, or a livable wage with representation. So we're really having a conversation about democracy mm-hmm. and capitalism in this mm-hmm. country. And you can't do that without talking about race, gender, immigration yes. policies, right? Mm-hmm. And so what type of community we envision, how do we interpret policies, but more importantly, how do we look at prosperity and the distribution of a very wealthy country? And mm-hmm. and this is mm-hmm. kind of the core I like to think would come out of this ruling, and how we reimagine communities and workers' rights in this country. Mm-hmm. Because corporate rights and management rights, you know, have always been there. And our job is to kind of have a conversation about fairness, equity, distribution, benefits, retirement in a way that it does not restrict us to low wages, no benefits, mm-hmm. or marginalized benefits, right? Mm-hmm. So this conversation about Janus is one also of community. It's also one of civic engagement, but more importantly, it's how we see the America economy being in terms of workers and families. And mm-hmm. so if we're envisioning going forward, unions having a conversation about social justice, quite frankly, mm-hmm. right? And these are the things that I think creates a table for us to kind of rethink the last 40 years or 50 years of public policy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see what you're saying here, because this act, especially at this day and time and so much is going on, we claim to be union members. We got to go to work here.
Got to go to work.
And we got to get out front and talk about just what you were talking about, from health issues to minimum wage and all of that. Just paying our union dues and expecting others to do the work can't happen here. We got to be not only proud about the fact that we're union members, but some of the things, all those issues affect us. Health care, Social Security, Medicare, you know that's an issue. Sure. All, and Social Security, all of those things. So, and I, as you were speaking, I was thinking about what Michelle Obama said about when they go low, we go high.
Sure.
And that was a low cut to unionism. But so we go high about addressing the issues of us all.
Of us all.
You know, mm-hmm. and making it visible and verbal in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and letting them know, okay, I mean, we bring the issues to the forefront, not just sit there and accept it. We've got to be active in our daily lives.
Sure. And it also affords us an opportunity to talk about the things that we don't necessarily agree on. And it gets us to the table to talk about the various viewpoints, right? Look, I'm from Florida. And I had to represent both Republican workers, Democratic mm-hmm, workers, and mm-hmm. independent workers. I had to represent white-collar workers, as the industry has labeled them, as well as blue-collar workers, school bus drivers, food service workers. And at the heart of all of those engagement was, one, a tax policy that was more equitable and fair, mm-hmm. two, working conditions, right, in the food mm-hmm, service mm-hmm. in some of these schools. One of the issues was, okay, well, can people work and sustain a family off of 30 hours, or can we do something more innovative to get them more hours? Here in Oregon, right, snow days, something mm-hmm. as simple as snow days. Mm-hmm. When we have these natural weather changes that mm-hmm. we can't avoid, who gets paid and who doesn't get paid?
Right.
These are the kind of day-to-day issues that families yes. struggle with, that this decision, while unintended, is the rainbow for me and for many of mm-hmm. how we now start to make this a positive thing, that we start to really, you know, go back and talk about mm-hmm. the community, go back and talk about family needs, go back and talk about civic oh, yeah. engagement, right? Talk about, you know, this ruling that recently happened in Detroit about there's no fundamental right for literacy when you go to public school, right? That's not part of the guarantee. These are the type of conversations mm-hmm. that the assault on unions through the courts and through the political process also now would create this new conversation, like it's doing today, about mm-hmm. how we imagine a functional, thriving society and community. And these communities are very diverse and very different and unique in their own ways, mm-hmm. but there's some common values we have to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You are listening to the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unions segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, for the working class, right here on KBOO, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. Thank you for joining us this month. We are having a discussion and show about the recent Supreme Court decision in the Janus case. So, Sherman, one of the things that is becoming clear to me is that while the powers that be want to get us all stuck on, you know, talking about race and gay and straight, at the end of the day, it's about us being collectively working people, and that the haves don't want to pay any of us. And at, I guess for me, I'm waiting for the day when workers, we just wake up one day and we realize that and can set all this other stuff aside and work for our common good as working people in this country.
Yeah, not just working people in the sense of we punch the clock and at some point, if we're working 40 hours, go home, or if we're paid on an annual salary and work, you know, 60-hour weeks. But we also have to talk about community service. We have to talk about parks and recreation, right? The quality of life issues.
Quality of
life issues. And we have to talk about, you know, is it fair in this country to have the level of homelessness that we have, especially here in Portland?
Right.
And the discussion about, is it fair in a economic system that is as prosperous as it is in America for children to go to bed hungry at night?
Right.
Or to only have a good meal, if you would, during their time at school.
Right.
And so we got to have these conversations about wages, term and conditions, but also how do they affect our ability to live in communities, right? How do we feed our families?
Right.
How do we enjoy peace and harmony in a community that is not necessarily top priority when you look at corporate profits.
Okay.
And so those conflicts, I think, this case affords us an opportunity to start to dig a little deeper in our relationships with one another and talk about the values that we all aspire to. What is it that we believe would make this a healthy community? What is it that we believe is a fair and just wage? What is it that we see as it relates to the diversity and an inclusion conversation, mm-hmm. right? Not just seeing folks that are different, but seeing folks who are similar, right?
Right.
And address these issues, right? We can talk about this in moral conversations, or we can talk about this in the workforce, right? What is a quality experience in the workforce, right? And again, unions are charged in part to challenge the status quo, have always been about challenging mm-hmm. the status quo,
right,
with regard to working conditions. And those conditions is, how do we regulate or check management rights?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Through either supporting progressive policies or challenging policies that we feel are not necessarily fair and equitable to those who are producing. Because we have this conversation in this country that the CEOs of these major multinationals are the one that's producing, but we all know that the workers are the ones who's producing the goods and providing the services.
Right.
So this conversation about Janus and whether or not you pay union dues is a fair share or do volunteer is a good opportunity to kind of re-examine who we are to one another.
Yes.
In relationships, too.
Agree with you on that.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That sure is an addition, more to think about.
Yeah, I like that. I like how you take it, go that direction. Because we're survivors.
Mm-hmm.
We can take something and make it into a positive.
Right.
And it seemed like to me that's what you're saying. Take this, and everybody who really knows, oh, geez, we're so disappointed in it, but yet still take it as an opportunity, too. Because with so many issues that the unions cover, oh my God, social issues, right, workers' rights, wage rights, all of that. So I understand better now. You know, I feel better, be honest with you, because I said, oh my God, after all these years working for union organizing and getting people organized, which we will be talking more about with the Burgerville campaign.
Sure, absolutely.
Burgerville camp, and I'm going to be working with them in about a week or so. But it's just be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
Yes.
Yeah.
Be encouraged.
Yes.
I'm a union to heart. Been that way a long time. But just see now, we got to keep moving. We got to keep pushing forward and get closer together as union members. Yeah. I understand that it was a gathering of union members just to get together so we can sit and talk. And,
yes.
And that's a positiveness that we need to do. So support each other in the efforts that we're trying to do.
Right.
Sure. You're saying walk by faith, not by sight.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we have to kind of fight for a just society, and that means workers' rights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which oftentimes I do a lot more research on critical race theory, and oftentimes what is missing from the equation or the literature is how do we see workers beyond the stigma?
Right. Beyond the stigma.
Beyond the stigma. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how do we now envision union membership beyond the stigma? See, they would think that you're good with paying Chamber of Commerce dues, but when you pay a union dues, then there's something wrong with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it goes against their value system, yes. But it's part of our value system. And now that's where the conflict is at, right, with this whole getting workers to vote against their own interests. Well, part of Janus, I think, allows us to have a conversation about our interests and our values in the workplace. But beyond just the workplace, again, this spills out into civic participation, which reducing the amount of revenue, because Janus is going to have that impact, reducing the amount of revenue that unions have to contribute to or allocate to doing grassroots organizing or doing voter registration and participation. And those who are sponsoring the Koch brothers, we know, who are sponsoring or members of the Freedom Foundation, who's going out today knocking on doors, trying to encourage workers that they can give themselves a raise by reducing union dues. But they're not telling workers that if you lose the leverage at the collective bargaining table, then the current benefits and wages that you enjoy, there's no guarantee that management won't come back through their own sense of survival, fighting against tax breaks for the wealthy, right? Looking at how do we envision school choice, right? How do we envision classroom? And as I said earlier, this ruling out of Michigan, with regard to what is the quality of education that one can receive, literacy, right, as a basic right. And they're saying that there is no entitlement. And they characterize us as looking for entitlements, but these are not entitlements. These are benefits that we think in our value system are just and fair. And they are gained through long hours and fighting for justice. Yes. And so we have to have a conversation about workers' rights in the terms of human rights and justice, right? To counter this free market theory.
Yes. Yeah. I was also thinking, is there something, I'm sure this just all just happened, any legislations or anything that we trying to put together to counteract what just was done? Like, is there some legislation, initiative or something to counteract? Is that in the works? Have you heard of? Or I'm sure there will be something, hopefully legislative. Well, in the political climate we have today, is everything is questionable, but the fight continues.
Yeah. Well, clearly, prior to the Janus ruling, there was this case, the Friedrichs case, and unions and community groups have been organizing to avoid the disaster that we can see come out of a case like Janus. So there's cooperations, there's think tanks, there's groups that have been meeting to make sure that folks become educated and knowledgeable about the consequence of right to work, right? And we know right to work is rooted in a very racist conservative ideology.
Yes.
Right? So we know that. And so informing people about the pros and cons, if you would, of having a strong union, having a voice at the table, defining workplace democracy to its fullest intent to have full participation by all groups of workers who are interested in a just economy, as well as a just society. And part of that just concept is we have a right to kind of shape our own destiny in that regard. And so unionization, when we have high density, helps us leverage our value system against systems or people who are making decisions in systems that are not necessarily inviting living wages, who are inviting or willfully giving pension benefits or willfully looking at 40-hour work weeks.
Right. That's making me think about how important it is that priority now is getting people registered to vote on in November.
That's critical.
Oh, I mean, really, voting
and
in November.
And not only register to vote, but to get them to vote. You know, the act to get out there and not just fill out that registration card, but to, you know, go in and pull that cord, you know.
Yeah, but this is about what's gained and what is lost. Mm-hmm. And so we have to kind of look at it in multiple lenses is what I'm describing here throughout this whole conversation. I don't want to just be looked at in a very narrow way that this is about union dues, because it is in part about mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. ability to collect dues, whether it's fair share or not. But really, this is a bigger issue here of looking at America mm-hmm. and its economy and its workforce in a way that you see the glass is half full, not half empty. Mm-hmm. And how do we look at the last 40, 50 years of fighting for workers' rights in this country, contrary to what corporate America stakeholders and shareholders see as the value? They mm-hmm. see more going to the top. And so we know we've experienced this inequality and this wage gap, right? Mm-hmm. Rich getting mm-hmm. richer, poor getting mm-hmm. poorer, middle class, we really can't define what that means anymore in real economic terms. So how do we now look at the Janus case as another opportunity for defining our value system? And that's key. And so part of it is having a conversation with others who are either like-minded or folks yeah. who don't even think like us, or in most cases, about certain common interests. Mm-hmm. And these common interests are permanent interests, I think.
Let me just say about, announce real quickly about mm-hmm. on August the 7th, the Night Out for Safety and Liberation is going to be August the 7th at the Irving Park. Starts at 4, from 4 to 8. I'm just going to say we're going to have a workshop on this Burgerville organizing drive.
Okay.
So that is, we're putting to action what you just been telling us. We got to do something. Take every spot we can and talk about unionism and the things we need to be doing. A couple other announcements is that the Humboldt at Emmanuel Church are going to be bringing, again, on July the 7th, this coming Saturday, bring all your don't wants, throwaways,
all right.
And okay. bring them. There's a place you can put them at. And then another event, of course, as you all know, I'm a minister, but I'm also having a Vacation Bible School July the 23rd through the 27th with the intent to take these kids to union workers, police officers, firemen. We're going to take them down to city workers and county workers. So I use whatever area I can and talk about working people and let them talk to them.